It's 88.5 KCSN. This is Mr. Shovel, and I'm over here in Bedrock Studio, which is in Echo Park. I've come down here. It's a nice little rehearsal beehive, a bunch of studios with bands rehearsing all over the place, a really nice setting. I won't paint the picture. I'll just post a picture online so you can see where we're at right now. But the reason that I'm here, it's a little clandestine rendezvous with Josh Tillman.
Oh, my. Clandestine rendezvous.
And now
I had no idea what I was in for.
I know. See, we have all that nice lighting, mood lighting going on
for you to seduce me,
setting the mood. I've got my perfume on.
Perfume.
What do you call it?
Seduction perfume.
Yeah. You have. By the way, Josh Tillman, if you don't know, is Father John Misty, and he's come here to chat with us. He has a brand new record. Giving birth to that right now, like literally as we speak.
I'm not literally giving birth to it right now.
No, he's not actually. as it happens, it's literally not that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm figuratively giving birth to it. Yeah.
Yes, very good. He caught me in a malaprop.
No, you know what's funny about that tune too is that it's not a malapropism, and so I was in a subtle way. I was trying to point out what a pretentious blowhard I am too, you know, but I'm not sure that everyone will catch that. Maybe it makes me even more of a pretentious blowhard to make a subtle kind of grammar self-dig on myself.
But I'm glad I got it out of the way right away. Yeah. because when I came here, I thought, oh, he's gonna nail me on some sort of grammatical
error. That's not my style.
No, the song that we're referring to is the song The Night Josh Tillman Came to our apartment,
yeah.
Where it seems as though it was a situation that happened when you were out there not married.
Yeah, definitely not a tale of married bliss.
And it was just an experience you had with one particular person on that particular night, right? Yeah. It's I'm not sure if we'll get to that today, but it's a song that I've already played on the air. We'll play it again. And this record, surprisingly, I mean, it's devastatingly personal, you know, as was the first one, but this was that one was personal in more an outward view of the world, whereas this one is just really personal about what's actually happening in your life at that moment.
Yeah, I mean, it's also stuff that I guess it was like harder to be personal about, like with the last record. There's stuff on there it's personal, but it's sexy, you know? Like, I guess for me, I was getting kind of dangerously close to, I guess, what in the past I've perceived as being, like, sentimental or hollow or something. But my experience with intimacy and with Emma, you know, it just demanded to be written about, you know, but it definitely took me into uncharted territory.
So Emma, wise. That Josh is referring to is Josh's
my
now
sister.
Wife.
Yeah.
I didn't know she was
my
sister
bride.
Too.
Yeah. The plot thickens.
The major influencing factor on this album is this relationship that you fell into with Emma, and the album essentially documents that.
Yeah.
It seems as though some of the songs are pre-Emma.
Yeah.
My understanding is that you may have had an entire album ready before this happened. Was it actually recorded or just written?
It was just written, but it was just kind of, it was just a bunch of kind of, you know, hoary depictions of sexual misadventure and humiliation and angst. You
basically
know,
just boring. Exactly what was going on in your life at that time.
Yeah, it was just there was like a song, you know, there's just a lot of songs about, like, there are a couple about, there's one called As Long As You've Got Yours, Believe Me, I Can Go Out and Get Mine. stuff like that, you know.
Now, did that ever get recorded?
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, I could play it for you right now, but I mean, they just, it all just was kind of just, you know, I mean, it was a monotonous sort of lifestyle, and thus my writing became sort of, I'm sure people, you know, there's some, would have been enjoy, it would have had merit on some level, and it would have been the album that would have come out, you know, if I hadn't met Emma. So I hope to God that it would have had some value, but I don't really know where, yeah, I mean, it's pointless to speculate, but yeah.
So there, it's not as if there's a recorded album sitting there in the can that you think is irrelevant at this point. You didn't record them proper, right?
Yeah, no, I didn't.
Okay. So what happened is Josh met Emma, his now wife, at the country store in Laurel Canyon. It's well documented on the album itself. Why don't we hear a song from the album?
Yeah, I'll play Honey Bear, which is the first tune on the album and was also the kind of this like major turning point kind of tune for me, where there was like a bit of a crack in my sort of preconceived notions about what I wrote about and the way that I wrote about things and the types of topics that were appealing to me. This song was kind of you know, game changer, as they say.
It's Josh Tillman.
As I never say, but as they say.
Father John Misty, it's 88.5 KCSN.
And come on the Rorschach sheets where we make love. Honey bear, honey bear, honey bear, ooh. Forget the world, damn straight Malays. It may be just us who feel this way. But don't ever doubt this, my steadfast conviction. My love, you're the one I wanna watch the ship go down with. The future can't be real, I barely know how long a moment is. Unless we're naked getting high on the mattress while the global market crashes as death fills the streets with God and variety. Oblivious, and you grab my hand and say, and I told you so, voice, it's just how we expected. Everything is doomed, and nothing will be spared, but I love you. Honey bear, ooh, ooh. Honey bear, honey bear, honey bear, ooh, ooh. You're bent over the altar, and the neighbors are complaining that the misanthropes next door are probably conceiving a Damien. Don't they see the darkness rising? Good luck fingering oblivion. We're getting out now while we can. You're welcome, boys. Have the last of the smokes and chicken. Just one Cadillac will do to get us out to where we're going. I brought my mother's depression. You've got your father's scorn and a wayward aunt schizophrenia. But everything is fine. Don't give in to despair, 'cause I love you, honey bear.
That's Father John Misty here on 88.5 KCSN. Title track from the new album, I Love You, Honey Bear. This is what I admire about you, Josh, is your ability to be extremely personal and vulnerable in a way that, I mean, that's what artists can do that.
Yeah.
Whereas most of us can't do that.
Yeah. Well, it's a little bit of a cheat, you know, because you're couching it all in a, you know, in a melody. And I mean, I find that a lot of what I do is kind of framed that way, like in my process, where it's like, well, what melody is going to let me get away with this, or what arrangement or whatever. And I think that's a lot of what was going on with this record was kind of this subconscious bartering, you know, where it was like, well, I'll let you say that, or I'll let you, like, get kind of treacherously close to confessional, etc., if you let me cloak these songs in these deranged, over-the-top Disney orchestrations, you know? Yeah. And, I mean, as the process got further and further along, I got, I think, more and more confident, maybe with the material, or maybe just more used to the idea that this was how the ship was going to go down, and started to peel back some of that stuff and bring, you know, the lyric and the vocal, you know, more and more to the forefront. But
you mentioned the orchestration on the new record, and that's a big part of the sound of the overall. And who did the orchestrations? Was this Jonathan Wilson produced it with you?
Mm-hmm.
Where did the orchestrations come in?
It was like
and they're real, it's a real players,
yeah,
right?
It's not kind of unbelievable that they sound as deliberate as they do, because it was just a year and a half of like, let's try this, and getting to me getting to the mixing phase and just being like, well, we're going to keep this from, you know, March 2012 and this from last week. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, it was, you know, it really was like an experimental record, but not in, you know, like the traditional sense of the word. Like, I wasn't trying to find new sounds or whatever, but I was experimenting like a lot, you know.
It's such a great sound. I've heard some of the songs over the months as performed live and acoustic sometimes, but having never heard the record, when it finally came and we listened to it, man, oh man, what a beautiful sound.
Yeah.
Congratulations on a great record.
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted I knew I had the sound in my head from kind of the very beginning, when I got kind of the first like elemental clue, you know, in terms of like what the album was going to be. I knew that strings was going to be a really big part of it, and I mean, it is like a far more kind of impassioned record than the last one. There's a little less like kind of just kidding happening on this record.
We're talking about Josh's relationship with his wife now. That is a big part of this record, and there's a song in it that I would love it if you could play about a place that's really just around the corner from here,
mm-hmm.
The Thirsty Crow. And the song seems to be about your two different experiences. You're being at this place, the Thirsty Crow, getting hit on, and then you being gone on the road and your wife being hit on.
Right. Well, this one is a real, it's a real mess, you know, in terms of like what I was, you know, on some level, I think I was trying to I wrote it in some kind of weird attempt to like prove my own. It's really like self-righteous or something. It's gross. It's like it's really gross. It's kind of a gross tune, and I mean I wrote it in this like huff, you know, like this angry, self-righteous huff, and you know, now when I hear it, all I hear is like this impotent rage, and really my own, and what I recognize really was the impetus for the song was like my own repressed, unrealized fear about my own capacity for cheating or my own capacity for being that person, that male kind of whatever. Because it's in me, you know. I mean, these things they're in me, you know. And I'm it's a really like distorted way of like processing, you know, all of that.
Curious. There's instances on this record where people can say, "Oh, that's exactly about me." Do you think people are going to identify those moments?
I mean, I hope so, because then it means that I'm not as much of like a not so like uniquely monstrous, you know, as maybe I feel sometimes.
Why don't we?
Which I think we all relate to. We all feel uniquely monstrous, you know.
But you put it in words,
yeah, right.
For us,
yeah.
This is Father John Misty being uniquely monstrous. It's nothing good ever happens at the goddamn Thirsty Crow around a corner on Sunset Boulevard. It's 88.5 KCSN.
Living it up can have it all, can pull more women than any two men or train can haul, but my baby, she does something way more impressive than the Georgia crawl. She blackens pages like a Russian romantic, gets down more often than a blow-up doll. Why the long face, Blondie, I'm already taken. Sorry, I may act like a lunatic, but if you think I'm crazy, you're mistaken. Keep moving, oh. At a time, it doesn't take half that long for men about town to forget what's mine. And now my genius can't drink in silence. She's gotta listen to your tired ass line. Oh, I know it's hard to believe a good-hearted woman could have a body that make your daddy cry. Why the long face, jerk off, your chance has been taken. Good one, you may think like an animal. But if you try that cat and mouse bit, you'll get bitten. Oh, keep moving. Oh, ho. Oh, ho, 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 ho. Oh, ho, ho, ho.
Father John Misty here on 88.5 KCSN. With a song from the new album, I Love You, Honey Bear. And man, when you're putting out a new record, and this is the second record as Father John Misty, and it, so much time is spent on it in relative isolation, really not interacting with other people.
Yeah.
So when you put it out, you don't really, have you given a thought to, geez, what will people think? I wonder, you realize you've written these very personal songs and now you're putting it out there for the world.
Yeah.
How's that feel?
Well, it's interesting in the context of this record specifically because, I mean, so much of it is about intimacy, and so I think so much of it is material that was written only because I had the benefit of this intimacy and of this like kind of bizarrely isolated, like safe place to explore this stuff. I mean, like if I wasn't kind of so rigorously like digging into this stuff with Emma, like, I mean, there are songs like When You're Smiling and Astride Me. I mean, that's a song that just, I don't think could have gestated in any other environment, you know, like these kind of lyrics, like you see me as I am, the, like horny man child, mama's boy, and whatever. I mean, those things within the realm of a relationship are, that's makes that's just kind of par for the course, you know. But then I, you know, it wasn't until it was time, you know, kind of mixing and stuff, that I just started, just head in my hands, like, oh God, what have I done? You know, like, what am I? I mean, the first time, you know, when we were mixing it, and it was really kind of like, you know, the die was cast, and it was, you know, we were past the point of return. It was like, this is horrible. Like, I don't know. I was feeling a lot of anxiety about putting it out.
Sure, that's something that we don't get as listeners and music fans. We don't get that the artist is uncertain of his own work as well, and how it's going to come across. So,
yeah, I mean, I'd like to say that, I mean, maybe there's some generality, you know, about like maybe that anxiety or is evidence of, you know, breaking new ground for yourself or something. I don't know if that's how it is for everyone. I mean, there were lots of times that I wanted to kind of go back to what happened last time and be like, is there any like template here that I can just exploit again, you know? But the deeper I got into this record, the further in the past, you know, Fear Fun felt like, and it just felt like it was gone. Like, it was just, whatever happened last time is just of no use to me anymore. And early on, when I was kind of, I very much wanted to be like, okay, I know what I'm doing now. You know, like, I've had this revelation. I was naked in the tree, whatever. I know what I'm doing now. Now I just have to keep doing it. And that led to some deeply unsatisfying music, in the studio. Yeah, I mean, I just had to, but yeah, I can admit that, you know, that there is some, once the thought of it going out into the world and enters your head, you can be easily swayed into making some deeply on some choices that lack conviction.
Well, I think it's been successful in what you've done. It's a really great and special record, and will be one of the best of the year for sure. I'm not sure where you get your news from, or you know, but it's easy to soak in what's happening around the world and really walk around going, oh, everything sucks, everything's horrible, you know, and it getting caught in that, you wanted to shake it off and say, I can't even pay attention to anything that's going on.
Yeah, I mean,
there's a lot of that happening. So I'm glad that you found I'm glad you found love.
But the thing is, like, that I find interesting is that if you can gain some kind of clarity, and again, like, whatever means necessary, but if you can gain some clarity on yourself, then you are better equipped to make sense of the world when it's your time to do that. You know, the last year or the last year plus, just for me, has not been the time to engage. You know, like, I think that will probably change at some point. But I have been really interested in the connection between gaining some kind of clarity on yourself, on like an atomic emotional level or whatever, and how that informs your ability to view the world past ideology and past the existing paradigms. You know, like, the more lonely and the more helpless you feel, I think the more likely you are to subscribe to existing, like, political paradigms or whatever. So I actually think that there's a case to be made that love, or being loved, or just being seen honestly, is actually maybe more socially, politically radical than just sticking your head in the sand.
So that brings us to the last track on the album, which is really kind of where the story begins. This is where Josh, Father John Misty, meets Emma at the country store in Laurel Canyon, a place that, you know, it has its own folklore.
Yeah.
Love Street.
Yeah.
The Doors, Love Street.
Yeah.
Talks about the store. And this is the very store that you sing about here, and where you met your wife.
But with this song, it doesn't have, none of that context matters. You know, like, in this song, it's about how insignificant of a place it is. And after all of this, like, kind of heady, like, romantic, borderline sentimental kind of stuff, like, this realization that it is chaos and it's random, you know, and this, and that you can meet someone who's going to change your life in really kind of banal, commonplace sort of circumstances.
And so let's hear this song. It's what is the full title of the song?
I went to the store one day.
It's Father John Misty, 88.5 KCSN.
We met in a parking lot, was buying coffee and cigarettes, firewood and bad wine long since gone. But I'm still drunk and hot, wide awake, breathing hard. Now in just 1 year's time, I've become jealous, rail thin, prone to paranoia when I'm stoned. This isn't true love, someone oughta put me in a home. Say, do you wanna get married? Put an end to our endless progressive tendency to scorn. provincial concepts like your dowry and your daddy's farm. For love to find us of all people, I never thought it'd be so simple. Oh, let's buy a plantation house and let the yard grow wild till we don't need the signs that say keep out. I've got some money left and it's cheaper in the south. I need someone I can trust to protect me from our seven daughters when my body says enough. Don't let me die in a hospital. I'll save the big one for the last time we make love. Insert here a sentiment re our golden years. All 'cause I went to the store one day. I've seen you around. What's your name?
And so it ends where it begins. Father John Misty, thank you so much for your generosity, taking the time to sit with us today.
Yeah.
And congratulations on a great record. I love you, Honey Bear.
Thanks, man.
And we'll see you at Coachella.
Yeah.
Have a great time out there. All Father right. John Misty, it's 88.5 KCSN.
Wake up, everybody.
Excellent.